And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, if I can, Romans and chapter 8. And in our exercise of late, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 and 2, we are stewards of the mysteries of God, and we had to be found faithful in God's faithfulness in exercising that ministry. Now, so when you come to, when a person in this day and age, in this time of grace, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God has now what? Found a place where he can bear evidence to his resurrection and to his saving grace. When a heart is opened and you receive him as your Savior, God has found a place for him to be who he is in a human vessel fit for the Master's use. And he's going to do what he does. He wants to be what? When you receive him, he wants to be your Father and the Savior. He wants to be your all in all. And he's going to be in that, do that, because we're to be co-laborers. And we're to have what? Allow him, understand his, what's he doing in here? He wants to be my God and Savior. And to exercise that ministry, he's going to exercise his wonderful person then in my life. He's going to be my Savior, my Lord. He's going to be everything. He's going to outwork his will and way to be like Ephesians 4, our vocation. We have a human life. But when we get saved, we were transferred from our human time on earth to a God-given time on earth. And God is going to go and just exercise his person. And we are to be, have an understanding, a relationship, and an understanding of that ministry. So the more we understand the mysteries, what he's doing, we are able to harmonize with what he wants to do. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to be, we're going to be his witness. And he's going to show his wonderful life in your ups and downs, and the easy, the hards, the much, the little. And it isn't a complicated thing. It's just a simple enjoying God being who he is, and letting him be. I can't enjoy who he is if I don't know what he's going to be like. If I don't know him, I read my Bible every month and do something. No, you're never going to know. No, you got to have that one. God has saved you and wants to be God. Why? Because as you enjoy him and understand him, and know what he's doing today, what he isn't doing today, the more you know this, you're harmonized. He's going to go. You're going to go with him. You're in tune with him. He's doing it. He says he's going to do it. I understand he's going to do it. I'm looking for him to do it. And we go together. And God speaks and moves because I'm on the same page of what he wants to do. I'm not dreaming about some other thing and ask him to help me do something. I'm looking for him to outwork his wonderful life. So, having said that, in the light of the mysteries, it's a simple thing. Trouble is, it's too simple, and people don't do it. They just don't do it. They don't understand. They think God's there to serve him, or God's there to do what? I don't know. No, he's there to be God in your little heart and mine, and to exercise his life and to do. And so the more I understand, I know his character, I know his pattern, I know what he's about with Israel, with the nations, and I'm not. When I hear the news, I walk, go to work, I listen to people, and come and go, all of it harmonizes what I understand in the light of our old nature. Humans prove their old nature to you every day. Every day. You're with humans, and they prove to you what? Their old nature. Are you shocked? No, not about anything, because you know they have an old nature, and you understand that. Because, and God wants you to understand it, because he understands they have an old nature and they aren't even saved. And he knows they're not saved. I need to know they're not saved, and that's in that sense. So they help him. Now, so a little exercise then in the light of what we've been looking at. Over in Romans in chapter 8, and you would remember if you would, in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, in what we're looking at. Remember, now we're stewards, we're to walk in the light, we're to fellowship with God in a most wonderful way. We're to have in common with each other and with God the same message. So therefore, what do we know? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God, the Holy Spirit, does a wonderful thing for us. He takes us out from being outside of God to be inside of Christ. And in doing so, he brings us by adoption. The word adoption is the word to place, and the word son, to place the son, to place the son, to place the son in, as a, to place the son from out here to in here, from outside of God, inside of God, to place them as a son, adoption, to place him as a son. With John 1:12, as many as received him, we become children of God. That's to be born again, children of God. But there's another way God says it. He adopts you. So when he does, he adopts us as sons. As sons. The minute you received him as your Savior, you became a son by adoption. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You'll never earn it. You'll never deserve it. God did it in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, as you go and exercise that wonderful knowing you're adopted as a son. And that's rather awesome to say to say the least. We aren't coming in as a servant, we're coming in as a son. Now, and so having said that little bit, then we want to go, as we come in as a son, we want to go, and now what? Over, if you would please, over to the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 11, I think. And the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11, picking up as you, if we can. And all we're doing is just locking in, trying to re-lock in, make sure it's there, our relationship that we're to exercise so that we understand our position. God wants to be his God. God wants to do what he wants to do in the way he wants to do it in your life. That's what God wants to do. God wants to do what he wants to do. And you have to harmonize. I need to know what he wants to do so that I can go along with him. Now, so therefore, Matthew chapter 11, we have adopted, and as you know, verse 29, if I can, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So I want you to go and take my yoke upon you and learn. Remember, the word learn is to bring into your experience. Bring something. Bring what? Learn of me. Bring Christ into your experience. So you know him. That's what we're doing. Bring him and all of his truth into your experience. Learn of me by the yoke. Yoke upon me. And what's a yoke do? Yoke, it's my yoke, our Lord said. I'm outworking the Father's will, the God of heaven, as the perfect Savior. And my head, the Lord said, is under that yoke. The other side of it is for you to get on the other side. I'm going to work God's will in God's way in your life. I'm on this side, the yoke. And when you receive me as my Savior, you're on the other side. Now, what's a yoke do? It brings you into an apprenticeship, to be an apprentice, because the ox, the rough ox, gets under that yoke, and the old ox knows what to do. And that young ox has to learn. But you know what? When your head's under that yoke, and you have to, when you work together, the yoke fits comfortably. It's easy, comfortable on your neck. But if the good ox is going right, and you try to go wrong, boy, that yoke gets you. That gets you. And what do you learn? What are you learning? You're learning not to try to go against the yoke. You go where you're being led. Jesus said, learn of me. And I'm going to go down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you learn. Don't fight me. Learn of me. Learn of me. You're adopted. You have an apprenticeship. You don't know it. You have to learn it. That young ox has to learn to cooperate. And the sooner he learns, and the better he learns, he'll go down that corridor of time and very comfortable. And I remember going, and those oxen just did. They didn't fight. No, they comfortably, yoke goes on. I have that yoke in my house. Same yoke. Now, having said that, the apprenticeship. So what are we going to do? The Spirit of God, in the light of this learning, the Spirit of God is going to go and do his most wonderful, wonderful thing. And you know the Spirit of God, John 16 and all that, the Spirit of God's ministry is what? To watch his ministry. To take all that Christ has made possible on Calvary's cross. To be able to enjoy God's word. To be able to enjoy God's life. And all of that has been made possible. And the Spirit of God's specific ministry, his ministry that we know, is to honor our Lord Jesus Christ and bring all of that benefit into you as you under the yoke, the apprenticeship. You learn. That's what apprenticeship is for, to learn. Everything, you have to go. You go somewhere. You have a job. Don't you have to learn the job? You have to learn something. You're the carpenter, the butcher, baker, whatever you're doing. You have to learn how to do something. You don't just stop in and you're a whiz kid. Not many do that. No, you have to learn it. That's what you do. So in the process, the Spirit of God's ministry is to be what? To make it all wonderfully work. I don't have to make it work, and you don't make it work. God makes it work. But I need to understand that I'm adopted and that I am supposed to be learning. So therefore, I'm open to learn. I'm not closed. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Then I have an ear to hear. I'm a student. I'm adopted. I'm an apprentice. I'm learning. I listen. I want to get it. We did think of Sunday school and all those things. Faith cometh by hearing, and Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you have faith? You can't show me your faith as we did all that. Show me your faith. No, you believe. That shows. I'll know what you believe. I know where your faith is, where you're believing. Like you're sitting in the pew. I know you believe the pew. We did all this stuff. So you show me my faith. That's why you got it. God gave me his word. And that's why we believe it. Faith cometh by hearing. We take God's wonderful truth and rest upon it. Now, having said that, and the Spirit of God does that. Now, slide over if I can to 1 Corinthians. Over to Philippians first. Over to Philippians. And in Philippians in chapter 2. And you will note in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, and our Lord tells us, chapter 2, Philippians verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which was in Christ also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it robbery to be equal with God, etc., etc. And he humbled himself down, even to become a human, born in Bethlehem of Judea, and went to the cross. Now, having said that, I want to have that kind. What did the Son of God do? He was in perfect submission to God the Father. And the Spirit of God, all of them are in submission. And the submission to the will of the nature, the essence, the being of God, his totality, all of them are yielded in submission. Therefore, but let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. I want to have that same mind. That's what he says. As my Father, John 17, 18, as my Father sent me, what? So send I you. Same way. So now, Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you. Now, how am I going to have that mind? What did you think, without turning there again, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, to be stewards of the mysteries of God? Well, we have to be knowing the mysteries. We have to be understanding what's happening in the day in which we live. And we need to understand it, because what you think may be good may turn out bad. And what you think is bad may turn out better than you think. But you don't know. You don't know. We know it isn't. Anyway, now, it gets sidetracked. Now, having said that, this mind, now over to 1 Corinthians, as you would remember. 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 2, and you'll read, may I go to verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, 1 Corinthians. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to be able to be in the same page. So you can't work together. You want to be. The general wants to be able to give an order, and the men need to go and be all on the same page. So the whatever is going on in the war, is just going to be like it's supposed to be. So therefore, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, how are we going to get the mind? That's the Spirit of God's ministry. Chapter 2, as you know, verse 9 even. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of the Son of Man, the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God's wonderful plan in the heart, my heart. Outworked, and it's out to be outworked. How's it going to be outworked? Verse 10. But God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring about God's wonderful plan in your life, in our lives, to be fulfilled. So now, verse 4. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? That's why we understand, us humans understand each other, and we're able to talk the same language and same general everything. But even so, as we understand humans, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And how are we going to know the things of God unless the Spirit of God tells us, helps us? We can't know the things of God. That's why he gave us his word. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. What for? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things? Freely given to us in Christ. We're to be co-laborers. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's why we're reading the words. That's why we're looking at them, because that's how we understand. We couldn't possibly understand. That's why we go and try to get a whole big picture, and then the big picture to get a little picture, to understand it. I understand the little in the light of the big. Now, so having said that, so the Spirit of God's going to take, that's why we're reading. How can I know the mysteries if I don't read them? I don't see him. God gave him. The Spirit of God's put him there, and I need to understand they are all there. God's word, God's truth, and I just need to relax and learn and trust him and be believing, have faith in God, have faith in his word, and trusting what God says. So therefore, and I understand the world around me doesn't want to know. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And if you don't let the Spirit of God teach you, you aren't going to be taught. And you can read the same verse that I can and not understand it the same way. You can teach the same verse and not understand it. The Spirit of God makes a difference. The English language is there. You have to be careful. English language is there. Spirit of God makes that English language what he wants to say. And I have to be in the place. You have to be in the place. We have to be in the place where he's doing it. Otherwise, I don't. I tell you whatever I want. I tell you. It'd be great. You got a good little thought. But I don't want a good little thought anymore. I want to be connected into that thought. I want that thought to be my thought. My thought. My heart. I want to have that truth, that understanding of them, whatever God wants, so that we're carrying one. We're learning. What are we learning? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn from me. Get your learning from me. Not from anybody else. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to get that to us. And it's real. And that's what you have to go for. Otherwise, we're just Christians in Christendom. That's who we are. And we need to be more than that. Now, having said that little bit, we need to abide, we need to dwell in God's wonderful world. All the time, the world system is in darkness, and in death. And we shared together, we did, in John, in the Gospel of John, over, if I can, John chapter 17. In John chapter 17. And in John 17, picking up, the battlefield's there. And in John 17, we're told that, verse 18, you know, as the Father sent me, so send I into your world. As I, the Father sent me into the world, so even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, back up to verse 14. I have given them thy word, what God means, what God wants and why God wants it. The world hath hated them because they have my word. Now, that's one reason, not a very good one, one reason people don't want to get too much into the Bible, because then you'd be an odd nut out there to that world around you sometime. And they don't want to get that much involved. I don't mind coming to church and hearing something. I don't want to be that committed. I don't want to get that radical. I don't want to get that radical. Yeah, okay. Now, so, verse 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So they're on the battlefield. We share that together. At God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, has it smack dab. When you receive him as your Savior, you entered in. You went from the bad side to the good side. You went from darkness to light, from death to life, from wrongness to right when you got saved. And you're on a whole nother page than the world is. And the world isn't interested in you being on that page. No, they don't want a light. No, they don't want it. Why? Because I received him as my Savior. And God took me out from the world. And the world is going to hate me because he took me, saved us in a most wonderful way. Therefore, Christ in you, as you know, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plan to go and do a wonderful work in our life, our spiritual life, and we're to do it. And in doing it, we remember, as we're on the battlefield, with the general, who happens to be seated at the right hand of God. And it so happens, Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, we're seated with him. As far as God's concerned, we're seated where he is. I'm here, I'm there in his mind. He's there, and then he's here. As the human, his perfect humanity is there. He's wonderful as the Son of God is here. Same. That's awesome. Now, having said that a little bit, so we're on the battlefield, but we're at the same time, we're at headquarters, seated in heavenly places. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, over to 1 Thessalonians for a moment. And you will know, remember, in 1 Thessalonians, when you come to chapter 5, we said, we're supposed to be stewards of the mysteries and be faithful in our exercise as we learn and understand and go forward. So now, here we are looking, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 5, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why not? Because, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now you couldn't know that apart from God's word. Verse 3. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, has travailed upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We're supposed to be knowing what we're doing. We're not supposed to be just church going. We're supposed to know what we're doing and be able to do it. And therefore, let us not sleep as I do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. So let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Reason, because we don't belong here, and we're on the battlefield, and we belong in God's holy heaven. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. So no matter how it goes, God can make it come out right in a good way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over to Matthew chapter 12. And keeping it just a reminder, we try to refresh our mind that we are here. We are stewards, and we are to be understanding, and that's why God gave us his word, so that we understand. And God gives us a time, patience, to learn of him under the ox yoke. We learn inch by inch, and eventually you do pretty good. Don't you find that in your own life? Just growing up as a believer, if he's really trying, working at it, you're going. And things you used to be able to do, you don't do them quite the same way anymore. You change. You just don't do things. You don't say the same things. You don't think the same way. You change. That's what's supposed to be. I'm growing. I'm knowing. I'm changing. Now, so here in the context, as we did, in chapter 11 and 12, etc. Now, going, if I can, straight over, chapter 12, and just to pick up a thought. Chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest and finding none. So the evil spirit leaves. He has to go. He's looking for another place to find a resting, to be abiding, and to occupy. Verse 44. Then he saith, couldn't find a place, so I return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. The bad guy, got the demon's gone, but you didn't replace it. So you left the house. The house is vacant. The house is open for what? I'm going to come back in. I not only am going to come back in, I'm going to invite my friends. So therefore, chapter 12, then goeth he and taketh him with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Israel rejected, crucified, and did it get better? It gets worse. That we go in and sign a treaty with the Antichrist. It gets worse. Not only do we crucify Christ, we have no king. Our only king is Caesar. But what are we going to do? So now, that's Israel, and that's the background for going into chapter 13, and to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 13, remember. And so here's Herod, remember, looking at the day that we're looking at chapter 13. Here's Herod, and Herod is going to go and take John the Baptist's head, and Pilate's going to go. And Pilate's going to go and allow Christ to be crucified. He doesn't want to. He doesn't believe he should. He should crucify him. But that's Roman custom, and the Romans had the right to pursue their way of life at that time. So therefore, here's Herod, and Herod doesn't care for John the Baptist. Pilate allows the Jews, and under Rome, Caesar, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the leadership, leading everything around, if you were Christ standing then, everything around except for those 12, the disciples that are saved, that are saved, they're going to keep going. Apart from their disciples, everything is against him. Everything is against him all the way. There's nothing for him. It's all negative, all negative. So therefore, he says in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now remember now, I'm sliding back over, chapter 13, verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 3. And he spake many times, verse 3, unto them in parables. Remember a parable. A parable is to beside. The word beside. Is that? I want to teach you about the watch, and we're going to go beside. To throw beside. That's the word parable. To throw beside. I threw beside a normal worldly thing you want to understand about plants, flowers, sun, moon. I put that there. I throw that aside. That's all I'm going to give you is this parable to understand this. I'm not going to help you understand this because you don't believe. You have to have ears to hear. But I'm going to give you a parable to help you. And if you would take it, you can get to hear. But if you don't do anything with it, you don't have this. You don't have the parable. Now, so a parable, to put something alongside everyday illustration, incident, so to teach doctrine, to teach a doctrinal truth, a sower sows seed. That's what you're going to have in verse 4, 5, 6, 7. A sower sows seed. That's what he's going to do. Simple, wonderful, easy to understand. Now, if you understand that, you can get to the next thing, as you do, if you do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, keeping that in parables, and you'll notice in verse 12, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. I'm going to tell you, you learn, then you go to the next step. But if you stop learning, you'll lose what you have. And that's true. That's true. Truth you had. If you don't let it blossom, if you don't let the plant keep growing, the plant, it'll die. The plant will die. You're learning. And you haven't graduated. You haven't conquered. You want to understand. You're learning. You haven't learned of me. And you haven't finished. John chapter 6. Over to John chapter 6. And you know in John chapter 6, picking up if I can in the light of that, if I can, yes, you will know it. Picking up, please, in chapter 6, picking up, the Lord's telling him about his wonderful, you have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That's what you just did with communion. He died for you, and that's your death. He lives for you. That's his life. This cup this bread, this cup. That's why you do it, because it's a relationship. Christ is your life right now, if you're saved. The life you have of God is God's life in you. It isn't your life. You have fleshly life, yes, physical life. The eternal life is his, not yours. That's why you're safe. That's why it can't be touched. No one can touch it. It's his life. That's why you have it. It can't go away. Now, having said that, though, therefore, verse 60, therefore many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Yeah. And it did. To what point? Verse 64. Verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth and maketh life. Verse 63 of chapter 6. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Flesh profits nothing, 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 nothing means nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. And you'll never hear them back again. You go down. Like the demon. The demon went out, and the life didn't get fixed. And therefore the demon was smart enough to say, hey, listen, this guy's really with it. And they brought seven more in. I can do damage, and the bad guy can get badder. And the heart, like Pharaoh, gets harder and harder. That's what it does. Say, well, I play with it. No, you don't play with it. You're playing with life. You're playing with God's wonderful truth. His testimony is grace. So therefore, what do we learn? Chapter 6, you remember he gives them an illustration. Yeah, I'm going to go through it just quickly so you see it, though, and then I'll try to connect it. Verse 9. Chapter 6, and when Jesus, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where are we going to get some bread for all these people? And this he said to put him on test, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, and that every one of them may take a little. Now, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath five more. You have to think of the humor of this when you read this, because here's a big crowd of people. Going to be 15,000 people or more. And we talk about a little boy's lunch. Why would you even think of saying such a thing? A little boy's lunch. We got a little boy's lunch. Yeah, we do. And he hath five barley loaves and two fishes. That means he have to cut them in half and something, a little biscuit. And what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000, that's men. There's going to be another miracle of 4,000 men. There's lots of people, plus women and children. And therefore, verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. So of all those people, and how long it took, it had to take a while to feed all of them. As the baskets go up and down, the baskets are always full. always full. Whatever you get, you take a handful, always full. Verse 13, therefore they gathered unto them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over above and above them that had eaten. Now, having said that, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. That's what he's the one. We're looking for him. What are we doing? We have a Herod problem. We have a Pontius Pilate problem. We have a Roman problem. We have a problem with the Pharisees, etc. We got our problems. We need a solution. We need someone to come and do something. So therefore, this is the guy. This is the guy. Got to get this guy. Boy, he'll take care of us. Now, so therefore, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He disappeared. What are they doing? They want him to be king on their terms. They want God to be God on their terms. And God isn't God on their terms, or their terms or our terms. God is God on his terms. And they'd made a terrible mistake. They wanted him to be what they wanted him to be because they wanted him to be it. They wanted him to be that for them. For them. No. It's not about them. It's about God's glory and honor in saving whosoever's, of which they were not interested. They were interested in everything except being saved. We want better health. We want better gas prices. We want better this. We want better that. But they don't want to be saved. We want better medicine. We want to feel better, but we don't want to be saved. We have a lot of wants, but we really don't want to be saved. That was the problem. They didn't want to be saved. I want to understand for my understanding, not because of God's. God wants me to understand for his understanding, not mine. I need to know it from his point of view. He's holy, righteous. I need to know. I need to let that governs. He's way different than I am. And I'm to be holy, we're to be holy, because he is holy. And so what are we going to do? Over, if you would. 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter and in chapter 1, picking up, if I may, and would you please note in verse 15, chapter 1, but he which hath called us, you, is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Why? Because it is written, be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. And how are you going to fellowship with me and be an unholy? You have to be holy as I am holy. Otherwise, you couldn't fellowship with me. Now, why? I can't do it then. But you don't make me. God said, you can't make yourself holy. You understand I died on the cross and crucified you and gave you a brand new life. The old is dead. I gave you a brand new life, my life, my life. And I want you to exercise that relationship you now have. And that's why you're holy. Practice, the believer is holy in your new life in Christ. Christ in you is holy, and therefore you're holy. So be holy, for I am holy, he said. And, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. What to do? For you know you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations, from the tradition of your fathers. That's 18. Verse 17. If you call on the Father, whom without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, of your sojourning here in fear. Have a healthy fear. Fear, healthy. Work out your own, you know it, Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his what? His good pleasure. Not your good pleasure, not my good pleasure. His good pleasure. That's what you're letting him in. No.